Welcome to A Healthier You Little by Little. This podcast gives you insights and features various aspects of health, from sleep and stress to immunity, exercise, home workouts, energy, and performance. Here is your host of A Healthier You Little by Little, Cindy Little.
Welcome back, everybody. We have a special guest today, Grace Alfafara. She is a certified transformational life coach, and today she is going to talk about how to cultivate and regulate our emotional intelligence into resilience. And this woman is probably one of the most resilient women I've spoken to probably in my entire life. And she's going to share a little bit of her story tonight. But let me tell you a little bit about Grace before Grace takes the air. Grace is a mother to four teenagers. She's a published author, grief advocate, certified sephrologist, and a certified transformational life coach, in which she specializes in emotional and adaptability intelligence. She also develops an online empowerment masterclass. She's lived in five countries and has worked as a philanthropist for several years with her family. Her background education in Western culture on psychology, quantum consciousness, and life growing up in a blend of Eastern and African cultures full of diverse life experience have brought an immense wisdom with a span of her life. A mother on a mission, empowering others to embody their true resilient essence wholeheartedly. Welcome to the show, Grace.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you very much.
Well, we had such an interesting conversation just a little while ago, and you impressed me so much, Grace. You do embody the term resilience. Maybe you could share a little bit of your story and why you do what you do.
Well, thanks. That's a great question about, you know, like how we turn ourselves and embody ourselves into the woman that we need to be, that rather than what we should be, what the world tells us to be. First of all, I grew up in the Philippines and in a very poor environment. And from that childhood upbringing, and it made me question at the age of six, why poor people do what poor people do and rich people do. What's the difference between rich and the poor people at the age of six? And then from there, I explored my own journey in silence as a child, and my parents actually applied a job to go to Africa and have a better life there. And it was the whole family went there, and I ended up growing up there from age 10 to 21. And I learned English there too. And from there, we went through hard times, you know, and Africa is not for the faint of heart. It's definitely gonna make you grow up so fast and in different many areas of your life. And that's how I grew up too fast of experiencing a lot of suffering and you know, loss and all that. And then from there, I met my ex-husband there. He's a Canadian, and he brought me here in Canada. I didn't want to come to Canada because I didn't know anybody. Africa was my second home apart from the Philippines, and I've lived in Africa for 12 years. And coming to Canada, I had my four kids here, and yeah, so I have twin girls. They're age 18 this summer, and one boy turning 19 this summer as well. And my oldest boy passed away 5 years ago to suicide. And that changed my whole dynamics as a parent. And I became a conscious parent, more like it from unconscious parent. So I started building up myself, and I targeted my emotional and spiritual journey for 12 years, focus on that personal growth. And as a mother, and I homeschooled my kids for 6 years, we used to travel with my ex around the world because he used to build zip lines and I was homeschooling the kids. And from there, I got to know myself more. I studied psychology here in the Western world, and I blended in with how I grew up in Africa and the Eastern world, which is Asia. The modalities there, it's like there is really no perfect culture, but it's all about going from deep within us, how to develop who we truly are. And then I started breaking the mold of all the systems through religion, cultures, and, you know, how our parents upbringing us with their unconscious upbringing to develop my own conscious parenting as well, and parenting myself too. From there, then I got divorced last year of 20 years of marriage. And then from there, and I also lost my father last year to heart attack. And I lost my boyfriend at age 53. He was retired and to a heart attack, a heart stroke more like it, 2 months ago. So I've been really advocating for grief to help people how to understand what grieving stages are, and from there how to apply love and resiliency as well, and how to adapt from one situation to another without losing yourself, but instead finding yourself.
Right. Like, wow, you've accomplished so much, Grace, even through all of the tragedies that you've dealt with. Like, how do you protect your emotional intelligence?
That's great questions. I love that. How to protect it is know thyself, number one. Number two is what is self? You know, you have to define that. So for me, in my case, I started studying quantum consciousness, which is the study of energy in motions and a mix of science of energy and the spirituality together, because everything is connected anyway. There's no separation. We were taught that everything is separated when actually it's not. Everything is connected. So I started studying emotions, because emotion is really energy in motion. So I started what love is. That's an emotion. Anger, what is emotion? Where's that stemming from? And then how do we switch from one emotion to another? Like fear, there's only two kinds of emotion, love and fear. So we dissect the love into, there's different kind of love form. There's joy, peace, kind. So I need to protect that. And that's from within us. And then there's a fear-based emotion, like anger, blaming state, victimhood. So how do we free ourselves from that kind of mindset without damaging our body that turns into illnesses, like chronic illnesses, depressions, stress, suicidal thoughts? Those are stemming from emotions. So by studying all different kinds of emotion, meaning, like, it reminded me when I was 6 years old, what makes rich men, what's the difference between rich man and poor man, is because of their psychology. What's behind the psychology is their emotions. What do you really actually want to feel? You know, that's your, how to set your power of intention is, it all boils down to how you want to feel to create that lifestyle. If you want to feel alive, right? So how do you want to feel alive? Study your psychology. How do you change your psychology? Understand your emotions. So basically it's all about life patterns. You can read life patterns. The best way to do it is study the emotions.
Wow. And so how would you begin to start with somebody? Like, do they fill out a questionnaire? Like, how do you help people?
How do I help people in my private practice is I do sometimes laser coaching with them, which is 20 minutes. I could tell whether I would have a bunch of questions, where they are coming from. I would ask them what's their problem, what they want to solve, and how do they want to feel. What's their results? But then when they commit to the initial commitment with their sessions with me, they would come with their own expectation. This is the result I want to solve, you know, that the result that I expect. But then when they work with me, I would chunk those down. Then they realize, oh, it's not actually what, you know, that I want to, I thought is this is what I want to get. But it's not actually that. There's more than that. There's more of me. Then we start working on your seven wheels of life, which is your finances, your career, your relationship, your emotional intelligence, your adaptability. How adaptable are you when the, you know, tough time comes? Or are you just in a blueprint knowledge? How are you going to apply that? You know, And then we're going to talk about your communication skill, because there's a language between female and male languages, especially when it comes to marriage. I've been there, and I tried it on my ex before, and I tried it on my kids, and you always chunk those down. So people come to me and they think they know what they want, but without knowing how to apply the patterns they have. For me, it's to help people how to read their patterns of, so that they can understand in peace and protect that peace in them, and to protect that emotion, but without overprotecting it, that I want them to learn how to master it instead. Then they can find who they truly are. Is, you know, that's my target, is to help them know thyself first, so that they can handle the emotion when tough time comes, because stress will always be there.
And you're a certified sophrologist. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Certified sophrologist is a study of psychology, hypnosis, and meditation all combined. What it actually does is it helps overcome stress, improve sleep, and rebalance your energy levels. Again, it's all about energy. And then decrease anxiety, it prevents burnout, especially moms who are always busy on the go. And it also can help children as well, especially children or teenagers who are burnt out from the educational system, you know, how to calm them down. And we're going to explain about your vagus nerves and your parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic, I like to call them the stress hormone, stand for S. And then the parasympathetic, it stands for peace, how to protect your peace. So how to make decisions based on your peace or calm side of you without being reactive about it. So the sophrology healing is a method of meditation healing that brings this, you know, the psychology and then the relaxation, the visualization, and the affirmation of the I am in you. Bring that out loud, unapologetically, but in a calm state. It teaches you to be calm so you can make a better decisions.
Well, you know, I think that you probably use this on yourself, right, Grace?
Yes, I do. Like whenever I come from work, or when I lost three people in my life, I would go for a nature walk. That's another type of meditation. And I would just go ground myself, take my shoes off, go grounding, and just take a deep breath and start breathing in, breathing out, you know. And that's part of meditation too. But mainly I would have 1 hour to myself, because that's the best thing, is, you know, to reboot yourself, re-energize yourself again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you on that. Like I do a nature walk every morning with my dog, and that is my happy place. And I always feel better when I come back from my walk.
Yes.
Yeah. I liked how you said parasympathetic, think of it as the P for peace, and the sympathetic S for stress. I actually never
easy
heard
to remember that.
Well, yeah, I'll remember it a lot better with those two letters. That's great. And what other tips can you give people on how to increase their emotional intelligence into resilience?
I have a thumb rule that I call it 30, 30, 30, 10. 30% of your time spent on your health, however that may look like for you, will start creating, because this encourages you to how to be a creator of yourself in your own terms. And the other 30% of your time is spent on your career or finance, and structure that so you make sure you're investing yourself on, you know, insurance versus on saving. There's a difference between saving and investing, and build your portfolio so that you can create your retirement plan and then harmonize that with your career. I hate the word balance. I like the word harmonize, because black and white is part of the same thing. Life and death is part of life, but there's in between consciousness that we need to learn about. Again, those are patterns. So the third 30% is family and friends, or voluntary work. Like maybe you should volunteer to any charity or organization that you want to have, or spend time with friends or your family. That's 30% of your time. The 10% of your time is a time for yourself, no one else but you. No disturbances, but all you need is just 10% of your time. And that's, and these are my thumb rule of 30, 30, 30, and 10 to start developing your emotional intelligence into resiliency, because you get to know yourself at work, who you are at work, what you represent, and who you are with your friends, and who you are with how you are doing your career and finance. It's like you're positioning yourself with authority in those 30, 30, 30, and 10. And who are you when you're by yourself? You know, are you the same people, or can you adapt and all those things? So that's how, in short form, 30, 30, 30, and how to build your emotional intelligence into resiliency, because intelligence is a holistic knowledge. But if you turn that into resiliency, it becomes wisdom, because you have experienced it based on life experiences. You have applied it out there without feeling sorry for yourself. You're unapologetic because you know who you are. You work on your I am within, deep within you.
Yeah. You know, you tell me earlier about how you had to break down some childhood barriers, like some belief systems that you had as a child. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Or
yeah, sure. Yeah, the belief system that I had, I grew up in a Christian world, very extreme Christianity. There's nothing wrong with Christianity or any religion. There's only wrong when the attitude of the people trying to change the meaning to their own advantage, sense of control. And then when I noticed that, especially when I was studying psychology, I took myself out of myself. I became an observer of myself and the people surrounding me, where I get these bombarded informations towards me. And then my real me, my highest true self, start fading. Even in my marriage, I start losing myself in loving someone so much that I no longer could see the woman in me. I could just see myself as a mother. But where is the woman in me? You know? So, yeah. So I broke the mold of the culture side of me. There's nothing wrong with culture. It's just that how people control it for other people so that they can feel safe with them. Same thing with religion or any belief. So for me, I started breaking that bit by bit in my childhood. I broke free from religiosity, extremist religiosity, and I broke free from the, you know, like the society, how a woman is portrayed as a mother, and you're just a mother and all that stuff, and or you're just a woman. So and then the culture and religiosity is mainly my main target to break free from. And teaching myself and other people how to set boundaries on their family and friends. I taught myself that. I went through that when I had my ex had a plane crash accident, and my mother-in-law was accusing me this and that, that I was not enough, I was not Christian enough, you know, I'm not a submissive wife and stuff like that. And to the point, it taught me a lesson what love is, because love is also about setting boundaries to the people who are close to you. And then there's a saying that blood is nothing when it comes to inner peace. Inner peace is priceless. So that's when I learned about love, because love is about inner peace. It's not about by blood. So I started setting boundaries on those people who are close to me. Even my own mother, she was accusing me again in my childhood. And I don't know if you can see this here in the mark here. When I was a baby, she used to burn me with her cigarettes, and that made a mark.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I asked her that one last year, was that a birthmark? And she said, no, that was a cigarette butt that I got mad at you. She said she got mad at me for crying, and then she burnt me here. And
wow,
it was crazy. But over time, I learned to forgive them and even, but I'm doing it for myself to free myself, you know, like, because there were unconscious parents. So I broke free from that too, like unconsciousness. The unconscious parents, they pass on their generational curses. So I wrote an article at the Brain Magazine, which I'm an executive contributor there, about how to set healthy boundaries on your relatives, by blood relatives, your even your husband, your kids, and you know, and even yourself, especially ourselves, how to set boundaries on ourselves, because we end up like pleasing people because you don't want to lose them, but it's actually the other way around. If you want to really bring them with you, you have to really set boundaries with them. It also teaches them about self-respect as well, because everything is a reflection of you and I.
You are one incredible woman, Grace.
Oh, thank you.
Four children. She's lost her boyfriend recently, just 2 months ago, right?
Yes, 2 months ago.
Just 2 months ago. And here you are already taking care of yourself, moving forward, sharing your wisdom with other people. And obviously the work that you do it on yourself, and it shows that you're moving forward. And I love that. I knew that I had to interview you because you just seem like you had, when you told me all of the things that have happened to you, I thought, oh my gosh, this woman has been through so much. And now you tell me about your mom and the abuse that you had. That was a new one. You've really conquered a lot. Like, congratulations, Grace. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, it builds who we are, and through those failures, you know, you go through tough time, there's actually a gift in that. And I, you know, that was a gift. You know, sometimes you need grace in yourself and grace to others as well. And that means you start understanding the patterns of life when you apply grace. Because right now I've been telling people, I think I'm in the state of grace, you know, how to do this, but doesn't mean I know it all. I still want to learn more, you know, until the day I die, you know. And I do believe energy is never dies. Even our loved ones, they never die. They just transform to another form of
you know
a kind of love.
Do you know who Yoda is?
Yes.
You're gonna be like Yoda.
I'm gonna be like Yoda.
You already are.
That's
Yoda.
The definition of me.
Well, you've got a beautiful name to accentuate or to perfectly illustrate who you are, Grace. Like, so I know that you've written 4 books. What we should do is probably put the books in the show notes today. And yes. How can people reach out to you, Grace? What's the best way for people to connect with you?
They can reach out to me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and they can also personally reach to me on my website, and that website is called gracethroughjourney.com. And on Facebook, my name there is Grace Through Journey, and same thing on Instagram and LinkedIn.
Grace to Journey, is that what you're saying?
Grace Through. Like,
through.
It's like breakthrough. Instead of saying breakthrough, it's Grace Through.
Okay, and do you spell through like THROUGH?
That's correct.
Okay.
Because Grace Through.
People who might be either jogging, listening to this podcast, or driving in the car, they want to know how to look it up later. So that's great.
Yeah,
we'll have that in the show notes as well. Any parting words, last thought, Grace?
Know thyself and live it unapologetically. Like, know your truth first so that you're not shaken by the chaos of this world. And yeah, that's about it.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Grace. And I look forward to hearing more from you in the future.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you very much.
Okay. Have a great night, everybody, or a great day.
Thanks for listening to A Healthier You Little by Little. Do you have a question about something you heard today? An idea for a topic, perhaps? Or would you like to reach out to Cindy? Send her an email, coachcindylittle@gmail.com, or visit her website at healthtowealth.ca. That's health2wealth.ca. Or you can find Cindy on LinkedIn or Facebook as Cindy Little. Once again, thanks for listening.